Amen, amen. We got that band is rapping and jamming and out of control.
Take it back.
Back to Poly High School, Manual Arts High School, Jazz Workshop. Amen. I have to tell you one day about my junior high school jazz workshop and jazz band days. You know, I got a million stories, amen.
You did jazz dance, but I didn't know you did jazz.
No, I played the trumpet, John. You did.
You did.
John, you did the ballet and tap. Praise the Lord. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. My goodness, Lord, it illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. So much uncertainty in the world, Lord, today, but it's so much clarity in your word, Lord. Speak to us through your word. We need to hear you today more than ever. We need to trust you and commit, surrender, and love you today more than ever before. Thank you for the light and the lamp of your word. Bless your word. Bless your people as they hear your word. Then let us apply it and live it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 15 as we continue on our love theme, on our obedience theme. I want to thank you all for the birthday love. You're all very kind and generous, beautiful people. Thank you. The red velvet cake that I was not supposed to eat is one slice away from being gone. Tracy's like, we can't eat all this cake. We got to get rid of it, Tracy. It's okay. All right. It's okay. So it is just about gone. Amen. So thank you for that. And just the blessing of another year of being here. Grateful to be on this journey with you all. So as we're continuing in 2017, remember the Proverbs, Proverbs 22 today, the beautiful Proverbs 22 and 1. What it says, it's a good name is rather to be chosen than silver and gold and loving favor than, you know, riches or something like that. Talks about being somewhat of integrity and character, which is very important as we try our best to be an example to the world. But remember the Proverbs. So read daily, wake up each morning praying and fasting, stay committed, stay close to God. You fall, you get back up and keep going.
Yes.
And run to God and don't run from God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You blow it, get back up and keep going towards God. Remember, it's a difference between the struggle and the practice. We're all struggling with something, and we shouldn't be practicing any type of sin. Amen? So as we pick up the story, John, I say John 15, 12. John 15, 12, where Jesus gives us the game changer. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You should have that highlighted, put a star by it, because it changes the game when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. He didn't say love one another when you feel like it, or if they treat you right, or if they give you something, or don't love someone just because it's what other people are doing. Love one another as I have loved you. Then he talks about sacrifice in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend, that we lay down our life, that we sacrifice for our friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command of you. So friendship includes loyalty. It includes obedience, some type of discipline. And so as I was trying to look for a way to quantify this, to actually see how this would look, how it would be acted out, I just had to turn back two chapters. So turn back to John 13. Turn back to John 13. And then look at John 13 and 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again, and he said unto them, do you know what I've just done to you? All right, so let's put it in context. Let's look at John 13 and 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. So Jesus is, it's just about over for Jesus. This is the day before he's to be betrayed and crucified. So the day before he dies, he washes his disciples' feet. And just think about that now. Think about it. You know that you're going to die the next day. It's probably, would you go out and wash somebody's feet? It's ultimate in humility and sacrifice. I thought about it. I'd probably go get my feet done. What do ladies call it? A mani-pedi? I'd probably go get a manicure and a pedicure. Then I'd probably visit the spa and get a full body massage. Let's be real now. I mean, if I'm checking out, I'm not going to be washing y'all feet. I'm telling you that now. Getting that hot stone, those hot rocks, going to the hot springs mineral place, wherever it is, I'm going to find one. But I probably wouldn't be washing your feet. Think about it. It's really deep, because we celebrate our birthday each year that we're allowed to be here. Somebody say amen. Amen. But then this is Jesus. This is how he celebrated his death day. And you only get one of these. And you're going to wash somebody's feet? Probably not. How do you celebrate your death day? Remember, you only get one. All right, let's look at verse 12 again. So Jesus shows the ultimate in humility. Remember, he told them that you are to love one another as I have loved you. The day before I died, I showed the ultimate in humility. Now wash your feet. Then verse 13, he says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Make a note. Who's your master and who's your Lord? Remember, somebody or something is your master and your Lord. Who is your master and your Lord? Jesus said, yes, that's true. And you say, well, for so I am. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and your master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Wow. Love one another as I've loved you. Humble yourself and love like our Lord. So make a note that Jesus is our example and our standard, not the world. As a pastor, I'm supposed to serve the congregation just like Jesus served. As a husband, I'm supposed to serve my wife, because he told us to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. So instead of her getting me a glass of water and making my dinner, I should be washing her feet. Amen. As opposed to you all serving me, I should be washing your feet. Amen. I got an amen on that. I didn't hear the husbands on that washing their wives' feet. Cats be leaving me out on my own, man. Now you guys are cold. But my wife and I, we can't tell you the number of couples that we've counseled because nobody can be humble within the marriage. No, she's got to do it, and she's got it, and she's got. Have you ever read the scripture in your life? Have you ever heard that Christ said, love your wife as Christ has loved the church? It's no mystery. When done right, it's a beautiful thing. So that's why Jesus, love one another as I've loved you. Well, you don't know how she's treating me. You don't know how Jesus is getting ready to be killed and betrayed. And he's washing feet. Let's keep going, all right? Because it gets better. Look at verse 15. It says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I've... He said, I've given you the example. The world is not our standard. Let the world fall apart because the world's going to do what the world is going to do. But we love, and remember, love without the holiness doesn't fit. It doesn't go together. They're out doing their thing, but that's okay. But us in the church, whoever walks through those doors, whoever we encounter in our job at the gym, we got to show the love of Christ. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Jesus said, I have given you an example, a model to follow. You can't tell me you don't know how to live this thing. He says, you got to do as I've done. Look at verse 16. Then he says, verily, verily. Remember, when it's repeated twice, it's a sure thing. I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Make a note. We didn't create God. God created us. Some people want to flip the script and say we created God as a way to deal. No, God created us. We are the servant. He's the master. We're not greater than him. We follow his model. Verse 17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He said, if you can do these things, you'll be happy. Wow. Conditional happiness. People find happiness in all sorts of temporary things. But he says, when you know these things, and know in the Greek to consider, to be sure, to be aware of something, to perceive, to look, to understand. He says, when you know how to be humble, when you know how to serve others, when you know how to love like Christ loved, it's tied to your happiness. It says we're not greater than him. We don't make our own rules. We follow the model. Remember, we're not going to judge God. God is going to judge us. We're not greater than God. Jesus conquered death. We still have to die. Says the word happy. So when you look up happy, it means supremely blessed, well off, happier, favored, satisfied, fortunate. Make a notice the difference between knowing and doing. He says, when you know these things and you do these things, then you'll be happiest. Knowing and doing is two different things. And then just think about it when we look at it practically, right? He says, love one another as I have loved you. Humble yourself. Wash somebody's feet, which metaphorically speaking means prefer someone before you. It's okay to take the back seat and let somebody else be right for a change. Humble yourself. And I can tell you some of the, he said, you'll be happy when you do these things. Some of the most discouraging times and unhappy times is when I haven't followed those scriptures. Think about it. When I've said something stupid or done something, don't say it. Then you go on and say it. You not trust me. You know you're not happy after it comes out. Then created a big mess. Why? Because I couldn't humble myself and just be quiet. When you do something, you know, I'm not, maybe I do it. You know you're not happy. I mean, the word is just so true. God says, don't call. Don't text. Don't go. Don't say it. Don't go. Then knowing and doing is, he said, when you know these things, you'll be happy. But knowing and doing is two different things. Don't eat that, don't eat that, don't eat that. Oh, shucks, I ate it. It's not a happy moment. God, help us to follow your motto. Disobedience, personally, some of my disobedience has led to some of my most unhappiest moments. God, give us the strength and the grace to follow your example. Verse 17 again, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Underline, do them. It's about the action. We got to do it. We have to live this thing. Uh-oh, but then he's look at verse 18. I speak not of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. Underline, we talked about it last week. We've been selected. We've been chosen. However, God in his infinite wisdom. I don't see. And you just can't figure out why would God choose us? Everybody's not chosen. It talks about it in Matthew, how broad the road is that leads to destruction and the narrow is the road that leads to life. And it can't be based upon what we've done because nobody could earn it. And Tommy, we ain't going to even talk about Manyard's days and after Manyard's. Why would God even think about choosing us? That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Just to know that God has chosen. It has to keep us humble. That's why he says, follow my example. Lord, I will, because if you chose me, because it's only really one person that knows everything all about you. And he still chose you and he still loves us. And says, you are right with me. It's like, God, you know, but God does know us. We're reading in the, with the purpose and purity, how God says he's going to, in Ecclesiastes, how he's going to uncover every good thing and every secret thing. Because if we started talking about our secret things here, I don't know if anybody would show up next Sunday. I don't know. Man, I ain't going to be hanging out with people who got secret things like that, who think about secret things like that. But God knows and God says, I've chosen you. And I love you, and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's a beautiful thing. Like I said, if you ain't never been saved from nothing, then you don't even, this don't even resonate with you. But for those of us who know, we know more than we want to remember. We hope we get to the point where we can't remember nothing, because God, I don't want to remember some of this stuff. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So here's Jesus speaking of his betrayal. It's already been written. Make a note, Jesus is 100% accurate all the time. Nobody else can make that claim. 100% accurate. And then look up at verse 2 and he's talking about Judas. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So it talks about the spiritual warfare. We know that we're battling with our flesh. It wasn't his flesh. It wasn't a craving. It wasn't a lusting thing. It wasn't an outside influence. In this particular case, it was Satan. The word says in James 4 and 7, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Obviously, Judas wasn't submitted or surrendered, and Satan came right in. First Peter 5:8-9 talks about how Satan walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Spiritual warfare is real. Family, stay submitted, stay surrendered. It's hard enough dealing with our own fleshly temptations, let alone letting Satan get into your heart and influencing us to do something stupid and betray Christ. And I wanted to get upset with Judas. Why would you do that to Christ? But then I thought about my life Monday through Saturday. Somebody say amen. Amen. The easiest time to be a Christian for South Bay Abundant Life Church is Sunday morning from 9 to 10:30. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's easy. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, brother. I'm doing well today, brother. God bless you. Yes. Talk to me tomorrow. I'm not sure. But it's easy right now. But we'll go out of here and we'll betray Christ. We'll hang out with Christ on Sunday for an hour and a half. Maybe. If we got here on time, but that's another issue. We ain't going there. We're not going to talk about that. And then we'll go live Monday through Saturday like we don't know Christ. We'll worship him with some of the beautiful worship songs that we sing. And then the offering will come and we'll say, God, I love you, but I don't trust you with my money. I'm not going to give my tithes and offering. I got too much to handle. Before I get upset with Judas, I had to think about my own life. And how could he do it to Christ the same way we do it? And that's why we need God's help. And that's why I think God is not based on works. We were studying Wednesday night. Turn with me quickly. We're going to come back. But this is a scripture. Go to Acts. We kind of got ahead of ourselves. Acts 15. Look at Acts 15. Let's see, where do I want to start? Let's say 15 and 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. The matter is whether grace saves us or the law saves us. Verse 7, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Somebody say, thank God for Peter. God, when God chose Peter, he knew he would deny him, he knew he would run, he knew he would be a coward, but he knew that he would speak up once Christ was resurrected and preach the gospel. That's why he chose you and I, because he knew that we would rise up and preach the gospel despite of ourselves. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, underline you've been chosen, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Somebody say amen. Amen. And God, which knoweth the hearts, somebody say amen. Bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Break it down, Peter. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10, here's the kicker. Now, therefore, why are you trying to test God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to keep? Why are you trying to make somebody live a life that you can't even live? Why are you trying to say in order to be saved, you got to do this. You got to fast 3 times a day. You got to read your words. You got to pray. You got to live right. Why are you trying to put that on them? You can't even do it. It's by grace and faith alone that we're saved. I'm so grateful that it's not because of what we do. We can never live this thing. And look at this verse after that. I lost my place. Let me find that. Thank you, honey. 15. And then look at this. Let me read 10 again. Now, he said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, none of them can keep it. Why are you trying to put that on them? You can't even keep it. They couldn't keep it. You can't keep it. Why are you trying to put it on the Gentiles? You got to live a certain way to be saved. Cut it out. Now, once we are saved, we should live right, but don't try and put that on us. Verse 10 again. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That allows you to cut some people some slack. It allows me to come in here and when I have to do counseling or we're doing premarital or individual, cut people some slack. I can't try and put a yoke of bondage around your neck to say, you should be doing this, you should be doing. I can't even do it. Peter had to break on them. Thank God for Peter. Peter's sitting right here. Go back to John 13. Peter's sitting right here. And Jesus is trying to tell him, love one another as I've loved you. They didn't understand it all right here. But once he resurrected and they were with him 40 days after he was resurrected, they got it. And Peter never let it go until they killed him. Paul didn't shut up until they cut his head off. Wouldn't stop. So we say, love one another as I've loved you. Verse 19, he says, now I tell you before it come that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Remember, it all gets back to our belief. Do we even believe what we read? Because if we believe it, then we're going to live differently. Jesus said, I'm doing all this and I'm telling you this with 100% accuracy. I'm going to get betrayed. On the third day, I'm going to raise up. I'm telling you this so that you will believe that I am who I said I am and I can do what I said I'm going to do. Family, here we are in the midst of a country that seems like it's more unbelievers than those of us that believe. And as we try our best to navigate daily, it's, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe, Lord, but help. I'm living this thing because I'm committed to you. Even when they say, man, it's a figment of your imagination, man, it didn't happen. Man, you worshiping the wrong God, man. You're doing this, man. That's doesn't make sense, man. I'm saying, God, but I believe this word. Believe through the power and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 20, and this is where we're going to stop at verse 20, and we'll pick it up next week. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So God is saying he's sending people our way. So even as Peter talked about the Gentiles, we're reading the book of Acts on Wednesday night, and he sent the Gentiles to Peter. He showed the Gentile in a vision, dream, angel. Same time he was speaking to Peter, said, go to his house, preach the gospel. Those that receive, those that I sent you, you receive me. Make a note in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. He said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. We can't say that we love God and we hate people. It just don't go like that. That's 1 John 4:20. And it doesn't work like that. But here's the make a note of this. 1 Timothy 2:5. It said there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Jesus Christ. But here's the trick of the world. Let me read that script. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You can't have God without Jesus Christ. Make a note of that. You can't have a relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between man and God. It's the man Jesus Christ. The trick of the world is to get people to acknowledge God and deny Jesus. I'd like to get up and thank God for this award. You believe in Jesus? No, I don't believe in Jesus. Whoa. Wait a minute. You cannot have God without Jesus. They're one and the same. They go hand in hand. Oh, yes, I can. Jesus is not. I just believe in the supreme being. I just believe in the ultimate. We all worship the same God. Ooh. No, we don't. And this is a hard scripture, family, but this is what the word, either we believe it or we don't. Either Jesus Christ resurrected on that third day, died for our sins so that we could be saved, or either there's another way, or either there is no way, or either we got to make up a way. He says, right, you cannot have God without Jesus. That's what separates us from all the other religions. And it is a tough time. It is not a popular time to be a Christian. I can imagine what our youngsters go through at school trying to take a stand for Jesus Christ and being ridiculed because they're not going along with the crowd like the other ones. But he tells them, you can't have God without Jesus. A lot of people are trying. Either it's true or either it's not. Okay. All right. I said I was going to finish, but I'm going to finish with this scripture. Let's go back to John 15. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Remember, Jesus has already washed their feet. He's already told them that, I'm getting ready to die. He's getting ready to be betrayed by Judas. He's saying, look, I've told you everything. I didn't keep any secrets from you. You have everything you need. Then he talks about being chosen again. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and appointed you. I've ordained you that you should go, bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We talked about that last week. How your desires change. How you want your family saved. How you want your friends saved. How you want to reach the lost. How you want to build the kingdom of God. How you want to disciple others. I'm not asking for stuff. I'm asking for godly things. And God said, I want to do that. Because I want your family to be saved. Your brothers and your sisters. I want your parents to be saved. I want your kids and your grandkids to be saved. Verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. So this is where we're going to pick up next week. In verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. That's a pretty strong word. Our youth, it's not a popularity contest at school. You're a Christian, they're not going to like you. You can't hang with everybody. Those of us, we don't go to happy hour after work. Or maybe we do go to happy hour after work. But we don't get as happy as everybody who gets happy during happy hour. You limit your happiness at happy hour. So we learn from the scriptures how to truly be happy. Go to some of these meetings and dinner meetings and they're ordering drinks and you don't drink? Oh, I don't. I just don't. It's just never been my thing. People look at you like you're crazy. You know? But then I don't look down on people because they drink. I can't hold them to a standard I can't even keep. I got my own little tiny things that I have issues with. Drinking's just not one of them. Somebody say amen. Amen. So before you start looking down because they're drinking and you over here with your little tiny sin going, okay. Mm. stay humble. I'll wash your feet if you want me to. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. Look at him bringing it back to him. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Remember we just read that? If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Let us bow our heads just for a quick minute before we dismiss. Wow, Lord, what a challenge. Humble ourselves and wash feet. Humble ourselves and prefer others before ourselves. Humble ourselves and love one another as you have loved us. You changed the game with that scripture. So, Lord, we accept the challenge. God, forgive us for betraying you. Just like Judas did. I wanted to get upset, but then I had to humble myself and come clean. God, forgive us for betraying you. Have mercy on us, Lord, and we thank you that you do, because you showed us. We stop trying to have people held to a standard that we can't even keep. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, Solomon, through the lineage, couldn't keep it. That's why Christ died for our sins. He was the only one that could free us. So forgive us, Lord, once again, and we thank you that by grace are we saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, and we'll never be able to boast about it. We love you for that, Lord. We humble ourselves and we thank you and we bless you. We thank you that if we were to ask you what was the last sin that we committed, you would say you don't remember, because it's washed away with the blood. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. You cast them in the sea of forgetfulness and you remember them no more. Lord, we thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your word that reminds us you chose us. We are special treasures. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you chose us, Lord, even with all our hang-ups and issues and idiosyncrasies, Lord. You chose us because you know, just like the other disciples that rose up and preached that word and shared the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would do it within our own circle as well. So thank you, Lord. Give us the courage, the strength, and the grace, Lord, to speak up on behalf of the kingdom of God. And thank you for choosing us, because we wouldn't have earned it. Now, maybe, Lord, someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe someone's never been saved. Say, Pastor, are you not sure you're saved? You don't have to guess. The Bible makes it clear. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I haven't been washing feet. I've been expecting to get my feet washed. I've been having the wrong attitude, but I'll humble myself and say, Lord, I get it. I want to rededicate this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. Pastor, I've been visiting. Today I'm going to make it official. If that's you, elevate your hand. If we're not members, we are family. We thank God for our South Bay Abundant Life family. Lord, we love you on today. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. We realize how blessed we are, not because of what we've done or what we have, but because of what Christ has done and who he is. He said he's done all those things that they might believe when they come to pass. So we look at the world today, He's already told us where it would be at and what condition it would be in, that we might believe, and that we might trust and commit and walk a little bit closer with him today than we did yesterday. So we love you, Lord. We are committed to the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for comforting us, and thank you for challenging us. No more business as usual. We want to apply and live this thing. We want to know and we want to do. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. Tell them how good it was seeing them.